From Proverbs chapter 3. It is good to be together in God's house, worshiping a living Savior. Joshua chapter 1 and Proverbs chapter 3. Before I read a scripture, I want you to realize that Moses, at this time, the great deliverer of the children of Israel, having brought them out of Egypt, and now has spent 40 years in the wilderness, Moses has died. And God commissions Joshua to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan on over into the promised land and there to possess it. Not to just go into the land, but to possess the land. And I'm going to read the 8th verse of the 8th of the 1st chapter. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I would like to use the last words of that verse. Then thou shalt have good success. And there's one word that I underlined in the 8th verse in my Bible, and that is the word, all. If we do all that God has said in His Word, then thou shalt have good success. And maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, but did you know the word success is in the Bible one time? And this is it. Only place in the Bible, 1,189 chapters, and right here is the only time the word success is mentioned in the Bible. I thought as I was preparing when I was a youngster, and when you were young, no doubt, you dreamed of some things that you like to accomplish in life, like some goals you had in mind, and you like to be this, or you like to be that. And in the back of your mind, you thought that, when that happens, I'll be successful. And I thought of parents as well, how that they want their children to be successful, and many of them have different ideas of what success really is, but they want their children to be successful. That's why they want them in a good school, where they have good teachers. That's why parents discipline their children from time to time so that their children will have proper attitudes and respect and what have you. That's why they do these things, because they want them in their own mind to be successful, and that's why really they get their children involved in the things of the church and the things of God. They want them to be successful. And so today I want to preach about success. Now, if you are a bookworm, love to read, if you go to Barnes and Noble's, or you go to Agape Christian Bookstore or some others, you'll find that there's a section of how to be successful, especially in Barnes and Noble's. If you just do these 7 things, or do these 5 things, or do these 12 things, whatever they might be, you'll be successful. I've even seen a program on TV how you can remodel your whole house and not even know one thing about carpentry. Don't you believe it? But all of those books are ideas of how to be successful. None of them have a guarantee. None of them have a warranty. And so I would like to say something here to begin with that sticks in your mind for the whole sermon. Success is not measured by the amount of material possessions that a man might have. Success is not tied to fame. Success is not tied to fortune. Success is not tied to popularity. All that I've mentioned will soon be gone. It'll pass away. I'm happy to announce today there is a sure way to success, and I'm going to read it in the 3rd chapter of Proverbs. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read from the 5th verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You didn't see the word success in there. But I'm going to show you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I say amen. That's it. Success is living in the will of God. Take that to heart. Success is living in the will of God. If you're in school, in high school, in college, or if you're married, if you are retired, or whatever, success is living in the will of God. In that fifth verse, first of all, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That is the key to success. Number one, trusting in the Lord with everything you've got. How many people I have known in life that only gave halfway or partially of themselves? I've known of marriages. I've known of couples that only gave a part of themselves and they had their eyes on someone else. Brother, it'll never work. Success is living in the will of God. Trust in the Lord. Let me just jot something else down for you. Success cannot be a reality unless a man receives Christ as his personal Savior. Now, I'm going to break that down and I'm going to try to prove it. No man or woman is ever successful unless they know the Lord. Truly successful. Unless they've been born again. I don't know. I'm not saying just about knowing about the Lord. I'm talking about knowing Him in a personal way. Where you can talk to Him. He talks to you. And you fellowship one with another. He walks with you. And you walk with Him. Hallelujah. I believe success can only be a real thing when you get saved. God's formula for success is trusting your life to the Lord in salvation. There's an interesting statistic that I'd like to bring to your attention today. Trust in the Lord. That term, that phrase, trust in the Lord, is in the Old Testament 158 times. In the New Testament, it doesn't say it in that way. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning the very same thing. Trust in the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, they are one and the same. Therefore, success begins with accepting Christ as our personal Savior, having your sins forgiven, being born again. I tell the story of Nicodemus. You know the story, you've read the story, third chapter of John, and that Nicodemus was a rabbi. He was a man that was well known in the town, well loved, no doubt. But something was missing in his life. If you were living close by Nicodemus and knew him well, you would think there's one man that's got it all together. He's got the life just like anyone would want it. Religious, a rabbi, teaching in the school, on the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin Court, one of the top 70 men in the land, in wisdom and knowledge, a judge. All of this, but something was missing in his life. And so he made his way to Jesus one night. He came to Jesus with some questions. Something was missing. Had to have some answers. And I'd like to say this, he went to the right person. He went to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you find what happens when he came, I want you to see the picture. When he came, although he's religious, had all of these qualifications and what went along with it, he was lost, he was unsaved. No doubt if you talk to his contemporaries, they considered him a very successful man, being religious leader. But in reality, his spiritual life was a complete failure. Listen closely. A lot of people today are religious, but their spiritual lives are failures. Completely. Success. I want everyone here this morning when you leave to be a successful person in the Lord. Knowing that you're saved and trusting God and living for Him and have committed all unto the Lord. The Bible says that here is Nicodemus with something missing. And he did the wisest thing a man can do. Outlined in that third chapter of John. He came to Jesus. He went to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought of that. He could have gone to his friends. And I don't want anyone to misunderstand. Thank God for good friends. Sometimes a friend you can lean on that you know that they'll keep what you're telling them and confidence if that's what you want. And they unload on you. They unload the burden of their heart. They don't know anyone else. And they just share it with you. They're depending on you. A good friend is hard to find. Thank God for a good friend. Amen. He could have gone to his friends. He could have gone to the dean of the Bible school, or to the religious school. He could have gone to the high priest. No doubt he had a lot of confidence in the high priest.
But the Bible said he went to Jesus. And so let me just stop there. I look back today, and I believe that was the first step that Nicodemus took towards being successful. And when he left there that night, having been taught with the Lord and the Lord talked with him, he's a different man. He's committed his life to the Lord. His sins now have been forgiven. He started out on the road to success as he leaves the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about the very many individual stories that have been successes, so-called, outlined in the Bible and outlined in today's world. How many of them? But it all began, anybody that's having a real success in life, it begins with knowing Jesus, serving the Lord, having faith in the Almighty God. The Bible says in that first verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I've got a great large book in my study about various things on various subjects. And I read some and I did not jot them down. But I read after so many people how the Word of God changed their lives. Beginning with George Washington in that book. How that he was a man that, although a lot has been said, some people believe that he was not a Christian, especially the liberals today. They'd like to say anything against Christianity, but like George Washington, like so many that I read after, how that John Quincy Adams, how that he said about the Bible, he taught his children to read the Bible and encouraged them to read the Bible because he said, if you're going to be successful in life, you must know the Bible. How that Douglas MacArthur, he said while he was the leading general of the American army. In fact, he was a four-star general when Dwight D. Eisenhower was a major and was an aide to him way back young in the early 30s. But Douglas MacArthur, that five-star general that led America in the wars, said these words, "It makes no difference how tired I am when the nighttime comes. What I've been through during the day, what the battle's been like, I take time to read the Word of God. I cannot lead the army without the Word of God." Don't you wish we had some more like that? Amen. Thank God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How can you do it? By knowing Him. By giving your life to Him. By serving Him. Success will come as we turn our lives completely over to God. Read any. There are so many. You talk about Henry Ford, success. And John D. Rockefeller, success. And Bill Gates, success. And on and on. Listen closely. They are successful in the eyes of man. But without God, they are a failure. At one time, Bill Gates was the richest man in the world. Someone has surpassed him now. He was the richest man in the world. But Bill Gates is not a believer. In fact, he has some atheistic tendencies. Not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with all the world might look at him and the millions and the billions, he's a complete failure without the Lord. Bill Gates were to die today, he would have nothing to take with him to the other side. The only thing we have is to have Christ in our hearts. Thank God, thank God. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You want to be successful, trust in the Lord. And the second part, in order to be successful, he said, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. The things that you think you know, be careful because you might not know what you think you know. If it doesn't line up with the Word, you don't know what you ought to know. I don't want to say things to get you confused here. But lean not into thine own understanding. We need the understanding of the Almighty God. We need to know what the Lord's will is, what the Lord says about a certain thing. The wisdom and understanding of man is not only limited, it will fail you. In fact, do you ever watch Jeopardy? Do you ever realize when Jeopardy's over how little you knew? Once in a while they'll come up with something that I learned in biology or in science, and I remembered that word. Didn't know a thing about what it meant, maybe, but I remembered hearing that word in school. But if you watch Jeopardy very much, you realize there's a whole lot out there we don't know. And it's amazing to me what some of them do know. But the man that won over a million, didn't he win over $1 million some time back? One person won over $1 million, maybe more than one, and I don't know that. But let me leave this with you. If that person does not know Jesus, he's a failure. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That is the part that I want to mention right here. Lean not unto thine own understanding. So oftentimes, we feel like we have the answers, and we don't need to bother God. We don't have to go to God in prayer and let Him handle the difficult matters. But I can handle this. Listen closely. We can't handle anything without the Lord. We might feel like I'm capable and I am knowledgeable enough, I'm wise enough, but without the Lord we are nothing. A person can attend the best institutions of learning in the world, and he can get all kinds of degrees and have a wonderful education, but if he does not know the Lord, if he's ignorant of the Word of God, he's not successful. When the Apostle Paul was writing to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, he said, in the last days there's going to be perilous times. Then he went on a little further and he says these words. Men will be ever learning and never come into the knowledge of the truth. They'll learn and learn, and I want to stop right there. Don't anyone get the idea, especially young people, don't get any idea that it's not important to learn. Learn all you can in school. We're living in a perilous hour, but Paul said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. A man can know everything out there that it is to know, and answer every question on any quiz show. But if he doesn't know the Lord as his personal Savior, it's all for naught. Can have all the letters behind his name that he wants, and go to the higher institutions of America, Harvard, Yale, Brown, wherever, MIT and all the rest. But without the Lord, his life is empty. Without the Lord, he is not successful. And so, what I'm saying today, when the Apostle Paul said those words about how they're ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth, there's a reason for such results, such poor results as that. They lean on their own understanding and not on the Word of God. God will show you which way to go. He'll give you direction in life. He'll tell you which way to live. Without Him, man is lost. That's why it's so important, and I have been preaching now since 1959, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I'm in the seventh decade of preaching. That sounds like I'm old, but really that's just, I started in the last part of a decade and now it's in the first part of another. During 7 decades I've been preaching. One thing that I have endeavored to do ever since I began to preach, I've tried to encourage the people to read the Bible. And study the Bible. There's a lot of other things. Pray and attend church and tithe and all the rest. But read the Bible. Get the Bible in your heart and in your mind. There'll come a time. It's already come in a lot of societies. A lot of people have had their Bibles taken away from them. Have no Word of God left in the home. Some places today you cannot have a Bible. If you go to Saudi Arabia today, you couldn't even take your own personal Bible with you. A lot of places the Bible is outlawed. But if you have it in your heart, no man can take it from you. Read the Bible, study the Bible, get it down in your soul. Know the Word of God, know what you believe, know what you stand on. When the enemy comes against you, know that God will be there to lift you up and to help you out and to stand with you and give you the victory. Hallelujah. The Bible says they lean on their own understanding, and that's one reason for failure, because they lean upon their own selves. I'm glad that God has given us the Bible, that we need not lean on our own understanding. We can lean on thus saith the Word of God. It's our guidepost. It's our mandate. It's our commission that God's given to us. It's all that we need. It's our roadmap. Thank God. Lean not unto thine own understanding. It reveals God's will for our lives and tells us how to live. I've got a book in my library in the study that says How to Live. That's the title of it, How to Live. If you read this Bible, God will tell you how to live. What it requires, the psalmist said, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. That's why we're admonished in the Scriptures to be faithful in attendance to the Word of God and to the house of God. Not just have a social get-together, not just a time of fellowship. We had men's fellowship yesterday morning and a good time of fellowship. We missed some of you that are regulars, but we had a good turnout and a good breakfast and a good time together, and then again at work time. But it's more when we come together, more than just a social gathering and a time of fellowship and a time of enjoying a good singing and the rest. The most important thing when we come to the house of God is to hear what God has to say. What thus saith the Lord God. Amen. Not just what the preacher says. If I preach my own convictions, if I preach my illustrations of my life, it's not wrong to bring them in. But if I only preach things like that and leave out the Word of God, you leave empty. But we need to come to hear what God has to say. Amen. And I tell you what he has to say. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on thine own understanding. We need the understanding of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Let me just share one other thing. Did you know this Bible was not written by the will of man? It's written by holy men of God as they were moved to the Holy Ghost. God picked out holiness people to write the book. Then he anointed them to write what he would have them to say. Somebody said, well, Brother Jones, how in the world could Moses write about Adam and Eve and Noah and all that, and he lived way over yonder 2,000 and more years later? How can he do it? God knows it all. Lean not into thine own understanding. And as your pastor, I'm going to make a confession right now. The things that I do not understand, it is not wrong to say I don't know. You get in trouble when you try to make people believe that you know when you don't know. And it's all right to say, I don't know. I'll just use an illustration. I've used it before. I don't know how a Holstein cow. Anybody know the color of a Holstein cow? No farmers. Black and white. Not a Jersey, but a Holstein. I don't know. I never have figured it out how a black and white cow can eat green grass and give white milk and yellow butter. And I went to school. A lot of things I don't understand. But there's one thing that I know. The blood of Jesus can cover your sins and give you a start towards success in life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And the last part he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. He's saying, if you trust me and live for me and obey me, I'll let you know my will. I'll let you know what I want you to do and how to live. And if you obey me, you'll be successful. Regardless of what your lot is in life, what your status is on the social ladder, what your pay grade is, where you work, or even if you don't have a job. If you love God with all of your heart, serving Him with everything you know, giving all to God, leaning not to your own understanding, but leaning on the Lord, you are successful. The world might look at you as a failure. How many have left a high-paying job because God saved them and called them to something else. How many have thought how foolish to put this aside? You're on your way to doing something and being something and earning some money. How foolish! The foolish man is leaning the man that leans on that rather than leaning on him. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Recognize the hand of God is in all the events of life. I don't understand it all here. I believe the Bible. I believe it. The 8th chapter of Romans is one of the best chapters in the Bible. I believe it, just like it says. When I come to that 8th verse, that 8th chapter in the 28th verse, when it says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Sometimes that's hard for me to understand on the surface. But see, all we can see is what's now. We can't see tomorrow. We can't see what's going on, what's happening around about. We don't understand. We cannot fathom it all. God's a big God. He's got it all under control. When I read that chapter, when I read that verse, oh, we know that all things work together for good. It's just as real today, I believe, as it was 2,000 years ago when Paul penned those words and sent them to Rome. We know that all things, let me say that again, all things. I cannot explain it why or how. But I'm saying this morning without any reservations, all things without exception are working together for our good and for the glory of God. If we can accept that, if we can believe that, if we can trust God with that, trust Him to direct our ways, knowing that He loves us, knowing that He cares for us, knowing that He's here with us, that He'll provide our every need, knowing that He'll take care of everything that comes our way, we have something to stand on. He's working it all out for our good. He's working in our behalf, like I preached last Sunday morning, or tried to preach. He's for you. He's for you and me. If you will trust Him, if you will lean on Him, if you will leave things in His hands, acknowledge Him to be who He really is, you will have abundant success. And I am not here as a judge this morning. And I'm going to close in a few moments of time. And I am not here picking out anyone or judging anyone, not my family nor yours. But I can tell you this, for my family and your family, without Christ, there's no real success. Find the ladder as high as a man can go. Without Christ, he's not successful. I thought of so many, and what the world thinks of them. How the world would put them on such a high pedestal about they've done this and some wonderful things, and they did this, and they did this, and they did this. But without the Lord, man is not successful. As I close today, 1962, I was elected superintendent of the conference in Arizona. I was a young preacher, had not preached very long at all, 3 years. A missions conference. Not very many preachers. Not very many churches. Most everyone was struggling. Some of the preachers had now moved from Arizona and gone to Nevada because there was a building boom that had one in Arizona. Earlier and now there was a building boom in Nevada, and some preachers had a carpenter trade, and suddenly of that day went up to Nevada. We didn't have very many preachers or churches. And I thought even then how the son had the idea that if I could make this much money, I'll be successful. Money was flowing freely in the West. In Arizona, Nevada, and California, building trade was booming and people were making money. More than I even could imagine. Then the minister, starting 1959 and 1962, now I'm elected as a superintendent of the conference, and so many things were going on, so many. She might trouble on every hand, never call us. The superintendent that we had was, he said, "I'm a fish out of water.
I come out of the ministry, I don't know how to handle paperwork, and so I'm going back to the pastors. I believe the pastors don't have that administrative work. But he went back to the pastor. Good man! Good preacher! Went back to the pastor then. I thought in that very time, so much trouble, so much chaos in the rest of it. People have their eyes on so many things, you know. So I learned at an early age in the Christian world, in the Christian life, I learned at an early age, success is not how much I have on my hip pocket, in my hip pocket. Success is not as if I am elected superintendent at the age of 31. On my birthday, 31 years old, that's mighty young. You have the responsibility of a conference. Success is not passing the largest church in the conference. Now it's better to do that. Success is not this or that. Success is knowing Him.
Hallelujah.
And loving Him.
Oh.
And trusting Him.
Hallelujah.
And meaning not of my own understanding.
Yes.
Things that I can't understand, Lord, I'm leaving it in your hands. Direct your paths. Heal that with your path.
Yes.
We're going to pray. Come to the piano, honey. I've told you this before. I'm going to repeat it one more time today. God called us to preach while we're in the service. I sought God. I didn't want to stay 9 more years and get retired or get out and go into the ministry now. God didn't speak out of heaven. God didn't tell me. Yet, the more I prayed, the more I felt like the service is not where He wanted me. And so I decided, I gave my notice that I was going to be leaving the service. I would not be re-enlisting when my time came. Then God told me where to preach. Told me the town to go to. Then God told me, the day that I was elected superintendent, He told me that I was going to be elected before they put the last smile in. And God told us to move back here. God directed us to start this church in 1976. God directed, He said, that He shall direct that fast. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And be not in thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct that fast. And I still believe He directs paths. And I pray that you pray for this church. And you pray earnestly. And I want you to double your efforts to pray. I believe God's got this church in His mind. He loves you. I'm confident that it will see God. And I'll see God, He'll direct my path. So I can pray. Now, Lord, the Lord, what shall I do? I can bring this step aside. I'm ready to help out any way that I possibly can. And I realize with the situation in my home and my own life, some things you can't do like you used to do. And I need the prayers of everyone. God's a good God. And I'm going to quote it one more time, and we're going to sing and pray. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. I was getting ready to say this and I forgot it while I do it. When I was elected superintendent, a man that got saved in our ministry and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost is called to preach. He's been a mean boomer. He'd beat his wife, curse me, curse the church, but God saved him. Sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and called him to preach at him. The first Sunday he preached, after I had moved to Phoenix area, he took the third chapter of Proverbs and read those two verses and preached. Trust in the Lord. First Sunday he ever preached. Brother, that's a good start. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and be not in thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Brother, that's success. Don't let anyone ever make you doubt. If you're serving God, loving God, obeying God, you're a successful person. You say amen. Amen. Will you stand together with me? Thank God. It begins with getting saved. And continues on by serving the Lord and obeying God. What a Savior. Amen.